entered access code 648568.
Yes.
By what we go through. Because it's easy to be up and happy when everything is going great. Or what we consider going great. But the true test of agape is when everything is going opposite of what we think it should be. And we can still walk in that and still be up and still do for people. Because that's how the Lord loves his people, is through us.
Now, and also we have to understand there's some other traits that agape has. And it says this in the seventh verse of 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, holdeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Never. It never fails. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So anything that love transcends all things, is greater than all things love is. And so, we just have to begin to understand that, you know, the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of what? Love. And of what? Sound mind.
Sound mind. Yeah.
Love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
So, not fear. So, you know, a lot of times we don't do anything because fear keeps, you know, creeps in and say, well, I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to get nothing in return, or this person ain't going to get it, and I'm not going to. There's a saying about anything about a person appreciating it, even, should I say, deserving it?
No. Because, like I said, just and the unjust.
Yeah, a lot of times we don't do things because we think a person doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything or hi or smile because that person only deserves it.
This is what I found is like, there's times where I'll be in the line and there's a person that's grumpy to everybody. Or they'll, you know, come on the speaker or whatever and have a grumpy spirit. And I found that if you ask them, you know, and you don't respond back to them in the way that they respond to you, it'll change. That act of kindness will change their day. I was talking to Bertie yesterday, and she was, you know, and Bertie's going through a lot, and she and her brother were out at Home Depot, and they were just joking and going back and forth and banter and with this person that works there. He says, you know, I thank you. And just from them, you know, having a good spirit, and even though she's going through all that she's going through, she put forth the Lord's spirit and had a good day, and that touched someone else's life. She didn't render, you know, she didn't let what was going on with her on the inside spew out on everybody around her. And he was saying how that made his day. And we can do that just by a kind word, because that's how the Lord loves his people, through us.
And then also, do we love ourselves unconditionally?
That's a good point. Because you hit that on the head.
And on the bottom page here, it says, the difficult doctrine of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
difficult to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. The spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. So I want to allow the spirit to walk in the spirit. So if I walk in the spirit, I'm going to love people unconditionally with agape love. But when I walk in the flesh, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. It says, it keeps no record of wrongs.
What were you reading that?
It's 1 Corinthians 13:14. Bears no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So if you've done everything that you think you have to know, what you have to do, love, because it'll never fail.
It'll never fail.
Love never fails. Wow. The essence, eros love, is physical. Filial's love is mental. And agape love is spiritual. Thus it is made up of the three fundamental elements of man: physical, mental, and spiritual. Fortunately, our creative views any problem or tragic moment as an opportunity to reach into our hearts and provide reasons for change. Look at that. Opportunity to reach into our heart and provide reasons for change.
Reasons.
Not to judge us.
Yes. A reason
but
to
help change. Us.
To help us, yes.
No matter what appears to have occurred, he is not angry or upset at whom we think is at fault, because he knows nothing has been lost. That's kind
of something that no matter what appears to have occurred, he is not angry or upset at whom we think is at fault.
Yes.
Because he sees nothing has been lost.
A lot of times
we think the Lord should be angry at someone because we are.
Yes.
Or the Lord should judge somebody because we think that they should be judged.
Yes.
Because of what they've done. But he doesn't see.
We hear that all the time. Don't we hear that? We hear it all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It says he is not angry or upset at whom we think is at fault, because he knows nothing has been lost.
Here's a big one. Since material things have no eternal value, they do not matter at all to him. In addition, any person you believe has died is still safe in spirit form.
Yes.
Does God exist spiritually? He does not sense the loss of this being, and therefore has no reason to be upset at anyone. His only thought is to help us see that life can be happier, life can be fuller. It is better to be kind. It is better to be loving, and then our time down here will become a focus on preparing ourselves to return to our Creator.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
My goodness. Regardless of what happens here, he has not and never will lose one of us, because we are created eternal spirits just like him. That's why when in the Old Testament, when somebody did something wrong, you had to stone them. And watch this now. When you stole them, they died. Where did they go? back to him. So in other words, you say, well, they doing all this, and they just send them back to me.
Send them back to me, yes.
That's what he was saying. Just send them back to me. Just send them back to me. It's hard to understand that, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful,
isn't it? And it makes sense because it takes pain out of death. Because a lot of people want to think that when someone dies that it's the end, but it's not. The Lord, like you said, you know, a lot of times the Lord will use mercy to spare someone from a great heartache.
Yes.
Yeah. He'll be merciful to take them out of their pain.
Yeah.
If they're causing pain or if they're receiving a lot of pain, the Lord will, because of His mercy, will bring them home.
Like He said, all souls are mine. That's what He said.
He says, all souls are mine.
Okay. The life that spirit that God gave, it goes right back to Him.
And they gave it, yeah.
See? There it is. Okay, where are we at
now? Regardless of what happens here, uh-huh. He has not and never will lose one of us.
Yes.
Because we are created external spirits, just like
Him. Yes, we are.
Jesus proved when He rose again that you can kill the body, but the spirit remains untouched and unaffected by anything that happens while here in this physical world.
Yes.
Our confusion of the purpose of love relationships. It's often then applied to how we think God relates to us.
Mm-hmm.
We imagine that God only loves us when we please Him.
It says,
our confusion of the purpose of love relationships is often then applied to how we think God relates to us. We imagine that God only loves us when we please Him, or that God will only walk with us if we acknowledge Him, or that God will only extend His hand to carry us back to Him in heaven if we agree with what we think what He demands from us. In doing this, we have created a serious love relationship with God.
Yes.
Totally at odds with His agape love.
Thank you.
Agape love only gives, never takes, and is void of any necessary condition. Agape love asks for nothing and gives everything.
Now,
simply because we are the children of agape love.
Now, when Paul wrote that in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he began to understand agape love. That's why he wrote about it, because it was displayed in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the good that I would, I do as if not, but the evil that I didn't want to do, I did that. So he started understanding, God loved me regardless.
Yeah.
When I'm doing the wrong or when I'm doing the good, He still loves me.
Yes.
His love never fails me.
Yes.
And so what we do, because Paul was struggling, right, with his flesh. And so what we should do is if every time we're struggling and we make a mistake, go right to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter.
Yeah.
That right there would explain God's love. It's patient. So we make a mistake, He's patient.
It's patient. It's
not
puffed up.
Mm-hmm. It's kind. There's no rig in the mall. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his love. And we think that God is tallying up all our wrong. Yeah, we do. We think that we've been taught that, right?
Well, you know, I can say that I'm free from that. And even when I hear someone charge the Lord foolishly and say, you know, that we, the people, have to do a certain thing in order to get from him, but that's not who he is.
No, it's not.
That's not who he is. Because it says here, agape love asks for nothing and gives everything.
Gives everything.
He asks for nothing and he gives everything.
Oh, okay. Then why do we, a lot of times, feel that, oh, man, I messed up. He ain't going to do nothing for me.
I've lost
the favor of God.
Yes, I lost the favor of God.
Then the Bible says that if you repent, right, he's not faithful to give you. From he says, it cleans you from all unrighteousness. Repent.
Yeah.
A trespass. Yeah. That means get back on the pathway.
It's on track, yes.
You trespass, you have went. You're not on the path anymore. Get back.
Right.
One month, just turn around and get right back on the path.
Yes.
That's how simple as it is. So when you get off the path, did he stop loving you? Did he stop providing for you? Did he stop blessing you? No.
Oh.
Because it says he raised those just and unjust alike. Like, so, God loves a cheerful giver, right?
Yes, he does.
Because he is. Oh, my goodness. It's not to give grudgingly.
Yes.
Because God doesn't give grudgingly, does he?
No, it's not. I didn't remember when you said that. I didn't remember. There was some time back, this is a long time back, that is just, I thought it was like, here. And he toss it. You know, you give it to him, but the spirit is all bad, and you're all mad because you're giving it, but there's no cheering at all.
So it's like you haven't gave it at all.
Yeah, it means not even giving it. If you're going to give it in that. And I'll tell
you. Oh, yeah. And even if you give it like that, it's like you never give it at all.
Well, a lot of times, if you give it like that, it gets thrown back at you anyway. You say, no, then it's going back. Well, I don't even want it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want it. It's thrown back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agape love only gives, never takes, and is void of any necessary condition. Agape love asks for nothing and gives everything simply because we are the children of agape
love. Agape love. Now, when it says agape love, isn't that like saying love, love? Because agape is love.
Mm-hmm. We are the children of.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, Joseph Prince, that's what he said, that when the Lord was saying to Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus said it in agape. And when Peter answered back, he said he answered back in philia.
Mm-hmm.
He taught that. And he offered back in philia. And not knowing what philios is, that is a love based on friendship between two people.
Well,
again, relationship.
If you look at it, Peter, just like we ourselves, we have to learn how God really loves us, and when we get it, we'll be able to display what we have learned. You know,
but we do it. I mean, we're doing it now that we've known about it. I mean, I really believe that we are walking more in agape. Well, I should say, we've come out of Euros, and we're going and times we get to the agape, we're getting, and now that we have a better understanding to be able to walk in it even more, that is, that agape is, it gives. It's not give and take. Phileos is give and take. But agape is giving, never expecting anything in return. It's unconditional.
Well, and the reason why is, you know, we still have those thoughts that goes in our minds when we do something wrong. We still have that feeling of, man, you know, those things creep up in our minds. And
well, you feel bad that you've offended the Lord.
Right,
you know, but
right,
he,
right.
But it said here, he doesn't take any offense at all.
Yes, yes.
He can say,
so,
get up, let's walk off.
And what we do is, we will confess, but we still feel condemned by it.
Yes, yes, we can do it ourselves.
Yes.
No condemnation.
He's not even looking at us in that way.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Because it's something that needs to be learned.
Yeah.
Okay. So he understands, just like I was saying, we have to be able to look at the way he loves us and really understand the magnitude of his love to be able to love each other in a greater capacity.
Yeah.
You know, because if we just understand, think that God loves us the way that we love people, with a filial's love, then we have to learn his agape love. And so
agape.
A lot of people think it's a give and take situation, but
right.
It's not. Okay.
Well, yeah, it said here, it says, on the last paragraph, it says, our confusion of the purpose of our love relationships are often applied to how we think God relates
yes.
to us. And we imagine that God only loves us when we please him, or that God will only walk with us if we acknowledge him, or that God will only extend his hand to carry us back to him in heaven if we agree with what we think demands from us. And that's right there, and that's what's being taught in a lot of pulpits today. And if you do this, then God will do that.
Yes.
You do this, how does that? And so they're preaching filial's love about
yes, yeah.
about God,
yes.
Not agape.
Yes, yes.
And if you look up those, and if you whenever you see love mentioned, if you look it up, some of them say filial, some of them say agape.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes. And God loves it with agape love, not filial's or
all the time. No filial's love at all. It's unconditional.
Conditional love, and what we have, and then, like I said, our distorted, should I say, understanding of love, you know, and it comes, we have to love with agape love with the Holy Spirit.
That's the only way we can.
Our love.
Yes, that's the only way we can.
That's the only way you can
love agape is through his spirit. That's the only way you can do it is through his spirit.
Through his spirit. So we must walk in the spirit. The Bible says that if you look in the spirit, you must walk in the spirit.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So if we're living in the spirit, and that's a good one, and God is spirit, who are we living in? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. in him we live and have our being. In him.
In him.
And so if we're living in him, we should walk in him too.
We walk in him too, yes.
Yes.
Well, he said that's the proof. Agape love is the proof that we are his children.
So if I'm looking all the time in a way to benefit someone else other than myself,
yeah.
No matter how the circumstances are, that's agape love.
Yeah.
Always looking to benefit someone else.
Yeah. And not just those that we know. You have people we don't know. Because it's easy to do that for people that we know, or people that, you know. But then to do it for those that you don't even know, that you will never even see again, ever in life. You mean that you will never, ever see again, ever in life. Because I know people that will do for their family, and they will show that. But even with that, they're still shooting up because they want something in return.
Yeah.
You know, but to truly have agape.
Now, do we love the God in that person? If God resided in people, it's not the flesh that we really love, it's the God in them.
You know what? With you saying that, it made me look back and say, like, when I see people that I don't, do I see?
No, the reason why I'm saying this is. The Bible says we are. Jesus said that to the disciples that we are in the world. We're not of the world. Okay, now understand that we're in the world, but we're not what of the world. Okay, so the Bible says anyone that said that love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Now, remember we were talking the other day, we had the Bible study last week, we were talking about the world.
Yes.
Now, what is it, the world, earth?
Yes, so...
And so we can look at that and look at the world, we can look at the things that are in our bodies or the...
I'm trying to understand that we're in it, but we're not of the world, okay? So what part of us is not of the world?
Well, first, can you define what world you're talking about, Mr. Fun? That'll help first. Because last week we were talking about, we saw scripture where it was showing that the world was actually talking about, oh, I'm sorry, that was about to say I was going to do over the weekend. That was the nine.
Hello?
I'm sorry?
I just said, it's deep, I've been off the hook, it might go out.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we can go on. We can discuss that a little later on. But I was just thinking in my mind.
You got it right there. Do you have it right there?
Are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm. You said you're gonna see what the world, but.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
I was thinking we were about the world because I was listening to a Bible study that we had over the weekend, and it was mentioned that the world, man was made from the dust of the ground, that the world that they were talking about was our body, our human body. So when you say love not the world, or love not our bodies or our flesh, or the things, you know, because we are not of the world, because we are spiritual beings housed in a fleshly body.
Yes.
So that's what I was asking, is that the world that you were talking about? Because in that Bible study, that's what came up.
Yes.
I think that part where you said love not the world. I think that's before we live, don't you think that saying is love not the world, the things of the world? Don't you believe that is?
But see, the thing is, like, we were saying,
I go back to what people do is, let's say that the world is the flesh now, the Bible says that Jesus became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. So he experienced two deaths, didn't he? He became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. So Paul said that he died daily. So my thing is, so if I'm in love, or love just the flesh of you, right? And that's eros love anyway. It's not going to last, because a lot of people, they be in love with the image, right, of a person, and then when that person is fading away, or that person will gain a little weight, or get sick or whatever, a lot of times a person they fall out of love with that person.
Out of love, yeah.
Okay, so now, it says many of the things that are in this world.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was that Bible study, and I looked up world, and it says an adorning. That's what it means in the Greek, an adorning.
Mm-hmm.
What the adorning means.
Then it says, and whoever loved the world, that's the love of the Father. It's not in them.
An adorning is something that you adorn is something that you put on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we are housed in the such, and that's what the world means here. It means an adorning.
Yes.
That's what it was in that Bible study.
So that's simply meaning if I am selfish, a selfish person, that's only loving myself, should I say, only in love with myself, only in love with that's not concerned about anybody else. The love of the Father is not in me, because the love of the Father is agape. The love of the Father gives and never takes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of selfish people in this world that only thinks about themselves and no one else. Only thinking about themselves of being happy, no one else. And so that right there, the love of the Father is not in you. Because of how you're loving, or what you're not doing. You're not being agape, you're not giving, you're only thinking about yourself, and there's a lot of people like that, only think about themselves, no one else.
Or they will, you know, anything that they do is done with an expectation of something in return.
Yes, yes.
And that's why I was saying that agape, you know, at the very bottom, that agape love asks for nothing and gives everything. That's a beautiful description of agape.
Because a lot of times, though, you know what, I ain't going to buy that because they never buy me anything.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep, all the time. That's us. That's our nature. Yeah. So, the couple of us. So we're on what, page 5, right?
Yeah, we completed it. It's only 5 pages.
Oh, okay, that's it. So we have a couple minutes. What must we do to obtain, to be able to love one another and people with agape love?
Take on the nature of God, which is love.
What else?
I'm sorry, though. I didn't hear your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I says, what, in what way? Here's another question. What way could we display that we have a godly love? In what way?
And doing for others, and letting the Spirit use us to give to others and not expect anything in return, to not return if something is done to us in hostility, not to return that and look past that and see that, you know, just like what we were in the Bible study a couple of weeks ago, that they're underdeveloped, and which is what they're saying here too. That ties into what we were
undeveloped capacity,
that they're walking in an underdeveloped capacity. That the capacity is in them to love, but that's how the Lord sees them, is realizing that and not holding them accountable.
Here's the first one about God's love, is that God's love is seeing the answer and sharing that with whoever is seeing or experiencing the problem, right?
Yes.
Now, how far now? Now, let's just look at that. If somebody has an undeveloped capacity in loving or patience, now we know that's a problem. Now we're seeing that's a problem. And we have the answer. What should one do, or how should one be able to show the other person or give that person the answer?
Well, depending on the circumstances, you know, of course, deal with it spiritually and then help them to resolve the problem that they're experiencing. Depending on what the problem is, and giving them a spiritual answer and encouragement to help them to help them through it. Firstly, you know, to pray and asking the Lord to intervene.
Well, they're just, you know what, they're just, they're not even spirits.
It doesn't matter.
They're just stuck in religion.
It doesn't matter.
They're just stuck in tradition.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. But those are problems. Okay? This is where I'm going with it. Those are problems. So if you have the answer, agape love is what?
Agape love is the answer to the remedy for the problem.
Thank you.
Like I said, it depends on what the problem is. But still, you know, be manifested in agape.
So if you know the answer and you are wise and God has opened your eyes to spirituality, and you're around you're around carnal minded people, isn't that a time to have agape love? Is to what? See the answer? You already know the answer.
You know what? I had an experience with that with my supervisor. Everyone was angry at him, and the Lord was dealing with it, you know, about blossom where you're planted. And they were all hostile towards him, and I said, you know, and I started, you know, thinking about, you know, forgiveness. I even said, you know, let's pray for him rather than talking about him. Let's pray for him and show him mercy. And then even when they didn't want to do it, I would go into his office, I would sit and I would talk with them and blah, 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 blah. And things started, and the Lord started intervening and changing the situation around. And now it's harmonious in our office. But I showed it out there. I did beyond what they said. Didn't care. And then they kind of got a little, you know, peeved at me. You know, said, how can you, you know, and what was it? You mean pray for him? I'm not going to pray for him. And so I said, well, for myself, I said, well, I'm going to pray for you too. Because I said, you know, he doesn't understand. And trying to, you know, show them how to work in a peaceful, to think about peace, because the word of God says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
So they are what?
Just
they are the children of God. That's all the peacemaker. So to be a peacemaker in a situation like that, and that was showing agape. I see that was agape in a situation, showing agape in a situation like that.
So we, a lot of times we have that. And when you see a person that is struggling or experiencing a problem, that's showing agape love. It gives them the answer or the remedy that will help them. That's agape love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a person that experiences problems, the answer is, hey, you know what, let's pray. Let's pray. You know, that's an answer. You know, to be compassionate enough to take that, be with that person, and just pray with them. That's showing agape love.
Yeah. And even if you can't pray with them, you can pray for them. And the Lord will still intervene, which is what he did in that situation.
Yeah. And see, a lot of times, you know, it talks about the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, and we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that is talking about intercessory prayer for someone else. A lot of times, the Lord would wake us up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, because it's somebody we need to pray for. It's kind of quiet.
No, I was
in
here. We
weren't
able to listen in on our Bible study.
Oh, okay. And when that happens, that's for us, and you don't even know what the need is, but the Spirit does.
Yes.
The Spirit knows what to pray for. And so, and let's make an intercession for someone else. And that's showing agape love. Because what? It's through the Holy Spirit where you can love with agape love. It's spiritual.
Yes.
And so we must be able to be attentive, have our ears attentive to God's voice, to our Father's voice.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people that's a need. And need a lot of answers for their lives.
Yeah.
And guess what? He has given us answers.
Yeah.
To give to those people who we come in contact with that have problems.
Yeah.
Because he's the answer.
Yeah. Like I tell anyone that calls me with any situation, I said, my answer will always be, it will always point you to the one who can do something about the situation. I have no problem. I have no problem, but I'm going to point you to the one who does. And then get into prayer with them.
Mm-hmm.
And point them to the one who has been.
Yes. But and a lot of times he has given us wisdom to help with their problems.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, he has. Mm-hmm. He said, because if that wasn't true, he wouldn't have sent the one out.
Exactly.
He was final authority, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, it's just been the works he shall do.
He called us with his Spirit. That's where the power comes from. And that's how we're able to manifest agape,
because
the only way you can manifest agape is
through the Spirit. Now, when he told his disciples, you speak unto this mountain, he didn't say that he was going to speak, did he? He said, if you speak.
You speak, yes.
So he gave us the power.
Yeah.
God gave you the spirit of fear, but power, there it is, and love of God, he has given it to us.
Yeah.
And he wants us to realize we do have the power. But yet we don't use it. You have the power to love. You have the power to love, the ability to love, the power to love with the Holy Spirit. He has given that to you. It was poured into our hearts. So you can't say you don't have it. What the Word of God said you do.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of agape is what? Believing all things. There is again.
It's a sacrificial love. It's not based on a feeling, but a determined act.
Yes. Yes.
A joyful resolve to put the welfare of others.
Yeah. Yeah. It says, believeth all things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And persevere. That's agape.
Yes.
And it's poured into our heart. Right?
Yes.
So, you have to believe that you have the power. That's part of agape love.
Yeah, it's saying that we have it. It's a determined act of our will.
Yes.
Eternal.
Oh, man. A part of agape love is believing and that you have it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. See, it does not envy. Somebody get blessed, don't envy it.
No,
that's agape love. See what I'm saying? But a lot of people envy, though. Yeah, I always happy. Your life was all good all the time, and my life was all.
Huh?
It does to be happy. Yeah, It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. How many times? Man, that's what they get.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how agape love.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, if you see your enemy, and your enemy has fallen, and all this, and he says, you got to have compassion. He says, but if you don't, I would take that off your enemy.
Yeah.
He'll take it off.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take it off. If you read, that's what they get. God said, well, he'll take it right off of them. You got to show compassion on your enemy. And so, here it is right here. It says, but rejoice with the truth. Rejoice with the truth. Truth is that you have it. So you, a part of God's love, rejoicing with the truth, right?
Yes.
It always protects, always trusts. There it is again. Father, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to trust you.
Yes.
With a God. Come on now, that's part of God's love, right? Loving God with a God as well. Always hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. And what is? Always perseveres. There it is again. Always perseveres. Love never fails. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand all those things. Even to love God with the God of love. You have to trust him that whatever he says is true.
Yeah.
And hope for the things that you don't see. That's loving with agape love.